Hello, and welcome to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer, and today our topic is college grads and the future. So my guests are Kyra Sherwood.
Hi.
Marcus Welkin.
Hi.
And Nancy Bishop.
Hello.
And they all have one thing in common. They have all graduated from UAA just this past Sunday, May 3rd. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'd like to hear from each of you a little bit on what your major is and why you chose that major. Nancy?
I was a biological science major, and I chose that because in the beginning, I knew I wanted to go into some field of medicine, and now that I'm graduated, I'm going to be attending medical school in the fall. So happy to be done with that and on to the next step.
Biology. Mm-hmm. And were you planning to do that as a young girl, or is this something that...
Not really. I've always liked science, but I took a couple of years off after high school and started working at a vet clinic and then decided to go back to school and pursue my biology degree. So kind of grew out of that.
Okay. Marcus, what about you?
I'm a natural sciences major, was a natural sciences major, and that's part of the biology program. And I chose that degree because of my interest in environmental sustainability and my concern for those issues. And so I've long been very interested in science and math and the environment, and so it fit perfectly with my values.
And I see you're wearing your green shirt.
Well, of course.
In celebration of nature. How about you, Kyra?
I was an English major, and it actually took me a really long time to choose that. I think I only declared my major at the beginning of my junior year, but once I figured out pros and cons of different majors I was considering, it was fairly easy to choose that one because I've always loved reading and writing. I can't remember a time when I couldn't read and when I didn't love to read. So going into literature studies was a fairly easy choice.
Well, I was an English major, too. They always said in those days, listen to me, be an English major, it will stay with you the rest of your life.
That's for sure.
And I do like to read, too. So I'm glad there's still English majors out there, because I think it's a fading field, but it does stay with you. But I didn't even know how to type, so... So anyway, I would like to start this conversation rolling with a question, and whoever wants to answer can jump in. What is the mood on campus? We're hearing so much about, the economy's wobbly, and all of these college grads are facing an uncertain future, and woe betide us all, and everything's black. You don't seem to be striking me as particularly worried. How about you there, Nancy?
As of right now, I feel fairly confident in my career path. I think it all depends on what a student is planning on doing with their college education. And I'm glad that I chose a career in medicine because I feel like that's going to be a very stable field. People are always going to need healthcare. So a lot of my friends who are also going into healthcare, I think, share that feeling with me. And so perhaps I'm biased a bit in having those people around me, but the mood is fairly good. I think that we feel like there is a lot of promise in our future despite the troubling economic times.
Right, and I believe that some of the fields that are touted now as being recession-proof are healthcare, alternative energy, and I can't put my finger on the third one, but I know it's there. Mm-hmm. How about you, Marcus? What are your prospects?
My prospects feel very good currently because I kind of got a jump on grad school and made sure that was a priority of mine. However, I definitely have friends who are graduating and are very concerned with kind of their long-term goals and what they're going to be doing. My recommendation to them was apply for graduate school because it gave me the ability to kind of personally feel more at rest with my future, which is a very big challenge for somebody who's finishing this kind of four-year accomplishment, what to do next. And so graduate school has been the answer for me.
So Nancy and Marcus, you're both just going to roll right into to another grueling 4 years.
That's
no,
right.
No break at all.
Oh, God, the summer, that's it.
How about you, Kyra?
Well, I'm not too worried about my short-term future anyway, because I'm going to be going right into the Masters of English program at UAA, because I was also accepted for a teaching assistantship there, which gives me pretty much a full ride tuition waiver for graduate program, as well as a fairly nice stipend for teaching a couple sections of freshman comp every semester, which is a little terrifying because I never wanted to be a teacher, but so hope that I don't have any prospective students of mine listening to this. But it's good to have that, to know that you know, I'll be making myself more employable with the master's degree, the teaching experience. Plus, that's at least 2 years that I know what I'm doing. Although beyond that, I'm hoping to get a master's of library science, since I think that's a fairly stable field and it's something I'm interested in. But I mean, what I really want to do is write novels, which is not exactly a smart economic choice to begin with. So I've never really been sure about my economic future.
Go for it, because it looks like you have already lined up your ladder to that goal. And I was saying the people will always need medical care. We will always need an environment that needs cleaning up or alternative energy sources. And we will always eat, and we will always need that stories. I was listening to some very interesting comments this morning on another talk show about journalism graduates. And the whole state of journalism has just topsy-turvy just in the last year or two, and how they are helping to build a new journalism. And you worked on the Northern Lights for a year or two.
Almost 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot, although in large part that was because I was the copy editor, and I have pretty much always been a grammar Nazi. So it was fun because now I could let my inner grammar Nazi out to play and actually get paid for it. But I wasn't quite as involved with other aspects of journalism, like, you know, chasing down stories and that kind of thing. Tended to leave that for everyone else. Mm-hmm. But I know there were a lot of people that worked at the Northern Light that was at least one student who was our managing editor, who works with Anchorage Daily News now, and others who've gone on to work with some, I think, other local papers in Alaska and out of state. So they seem to be doing pretty well anyway.
So you will be staying in state. How about you, Nancy and Marcus? You will be leaving Alaska for at least a temporary period of years.
I'm beginning medical school with the WAMI program, and so I actually get to spend my first year up here, which is great for me. I'm born and raised Alaskan, so I'm excited to be able to stay one more year. I go to Seattle for a year and then do rotations between Washington and Alaska and the other WAMI states for the next 2 years.
Now, I hear a lot about the WAMI program. Can you sort of synopsize it for our listeners who are not familiar with it?
Essentially, University of Washington is one of the only medical schools, actually the only medical school in the Pacific Northwest. And so because some of the other states in this area don't have medical schools, they have a partnership with those states. WAMI stands for Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. And so those other states that don't have medical schools partner with University of Washington, and students from each prospective state have classes that stay there for a year and then go to the main campus in Washington. So it's a great opportunity for students who don't have a state school to apply to be able to, you know, have a school that's within their specific area. And there is an initiative tuition-wise as well for if students come back to their home state after the, you know, after they've graduated with their medical degree, they basically you get to pay in-state tuition when you're in Washington or while you're in school. Mm-hmm. And if you don't come back, you have to pay the difference. So there's definitely an advantage there, an economic advantage there. And I plan on returning to Alaska to practice anyway, so it's an ideal situation.
So you would be an MD or specializing in?
University of Washington is, I think it's actually the best family practice, family medicine school in the country. I'm not sure what I want to specialize in. I think I would like to maybe go into surgery or oncology, but right now I have 4 years to figure that out. So,
and where are you going, Marcus?
Next fall, I will be traveling to London, to the University of London King's College, for a degree in environmental science and policy.
How'd you score that?
My girlfriend actually won the Marshall Scholarship this fall, and so she'll be going to school in London, and we decided to go together. And so I decided to apply for graduate school in London.
I interviewed her.
You probably did interview her.
I did. I remember. She was the economics major. Mm-hmm. She got the okay, that's a small world. So that worked out. So what are you planning to do with all of this education, though? Do you have a plan, a grand plan for when you get out of graduate school? What kind of work would you be interested in?
Somebody who's going to study environmental issues, it's kind of a blossoming field right now. I'm still unsure whether I want to pursue policy or more of a science background, and kind of, you know, that's what I want to do. I feel like there's plenty of jobs at universities, at environmental consulting firms. There's all kinds of jobs for people who, you know, have science and math backgrounds.
And certainly Alaska is fertile ground for those type of activity, and more so every day. So, but you all are planning to stick around Alaska. You don't feel the lure of going outside, which is a big problem in the state. So many of the best and brightest leave. Are you hearing from your friends why they would want to go to another state or another country?
People seem to have the probably, unfortunately, accurate idea that there are a lot more opportunities out of state. I mean, even now, right now, I'm trying to find a summer job, and I've been looking at freelance proofreading, copy editing jobs online, and most of those are in places like California and New York. Since Alaska is such a small state, it can be kind of hard to find good career opportunities, especially if it's a more, I don't know, specialized sort of field. And then there are a lot of people who are tired of Alaska for one reason or another, which I don't exactly get, but...
Well, I think if you grow up anywhere, there's that the grass is greener syndrome. I know I had it big time because I grew up in New York and New England, and much as I loved it back there, I wanted to see something else. And for me, I'm talking about myself personally, that something else appealed to me more. It's funny, I traveled across country with three other friends from college, and we went to California from the East Coast. And I was the only one who stayed. The other three went back within a month.
Wow.
They did not adjust, and I did. And it's just the difference in people. It's in your DNA. You may never come back from England, Marcus.
Well, I've actually lived in England already.
Oh, good.
When I was a young child, and I've lived a lot of different places, and I really love Alaska, so definitely wouldn't surprise me if I ended up back here in 5 or 10 years.
And here I'm talking sort of old hat, because as we even speak, the world is shrinking, and these national boundaries are diminishing, and who knows, in 5, 10, 20 years, within your lifetimes, there will be a major, major change in how we perceive government, how we perceive everything. What are you hearing out there? What are some of the innovations that the future may hold for us all?
Tough question. Yeah. I think the internet holds some of those answers, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think there's some major technological shifts in the internet and the web 2.0 things that will really kind of shrink governments and things like that you're talking about. I think we're seeing it in play right now with the new Obama administration and trying to, you know, get these resources out available on the internet to the public in a very transparent way.
And I think what Marcus says is interesting. I think that another thing that the internet provides us is more participatory action on the part of citizens. You know, I think that Obama's community forum that he did online was really interesting. And we had so many people across the country who may or may not have been, you know, been involved in politics at all at some point, who were able to speak out and have a voice. And so I think that there's more of a movement towards that, more involvement on the part of the people in what is going on in their nation. So,
and even outside of America, that seems to be true. As I spent the fall semester in England, and so obviously I was over there for the election, and it was really interesting just how much the British students there were interested in the election. Of course, every time I told someone I was from Alaska, I'd get, oh, Palin country. If I had a pound for every time someone said that.
Well, my thought is that the internet, for all of its use, abuse, and whatever, is still very young. Mm-hmm. And I think what we are in with the internet, and you can call in and tell me that I'm crazy if you want, but I think right now it's sort of very narcissistic, you know. Everybody, it's more of a, there's this continual grab for people seeking notoriety on the internet. But I think when that settles down, and I think it will in time, and it'll just become, you know, the tool it's supposed to be, which is pretty amazing that you can tap on your keyboard and get all this stuff. I'd like to pause here and remind our listeners that Community Forum is a call-in program, and our number to call is 550-8433, 550-8433, outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or shoot us an email at communityforum@kska.org. My guests today are three recent UAA college grads. They are Marcus Welkin, Nancy Bishop, and Kyra Sherwood. They're here to help answer your questions about what's in store for our college graduates. And my question to all three, and jump in whoever wants to answer this, did you get help on campus? Are there university advisors that help you career-wise?
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about that a little bit?
I think all three of us were really fortunate to be involved with the Honors College, because there are definitely a lot more resources with advising in that particular college than anywhere else on UAA, I believe. I don't think I could have gotten through my college career without the help of our advisor there, Marion Mitchell.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. And, you know, my entire 4 years at UAA, you know, I talked to Marion about what I needed and what I, you know, needed to do to get to where I am now. And I feel really fortunate to have had her as a resource. Mm-hmm.
And there is a Career Resources Center. There's an advising center in the University Center Mall. I'm not sure. I guess I'm not sure how much those are actually used. I assume they get a decent amount of use. I've never used the. Well, actually, no. I did go to the Career Resources Center once and didn't find it all that helpful personally. But I'm sure they're pretty helpful for a lot of students. They've got a pretty good library of resources there too, but people have faculty advisors assigned to them within their majors too, and that's true for I think any major you're part of.
Mm-hmm. All three of you seem to be pretty pretty confident and sure of yourselves as to the career path you've taken, which is great, I think, because I think. A lot of, I know when I was in college, I was like you, Kyra. I loved to read. I loved the English. I majored in English. But the thought of actually teaching just terrified me. I thought, those kids are going to walk all over me. I know it. And I did not pursue a teaching career. But I did end up working in magazines and that kind of thing, newspapers, and ended up in public radio, which was the furthest thing from my mind when I was actually in college. Did any of you have a surprise like that? Like, oops, here I am in natural resources? Or did you know in freshman year what you were going to do?
Well, I actually started my biology degree wanting to go to vet school. And I worked at a vet clinic for the past 6 years, as I've mentioned. And after working there for a couple years, I realized that perhaps human medicine would be more my thing. So it's definitely changed, and I feel very certain about my career path now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that that's always the case. I do definitely have friends who have graduated and are, you know, out of college with their degree and a new job and not really sure if that's where they want to be. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even after being out of school and in the workforce for a couple years, I have friends who are either changing careers or going back to school because they're unsure of their career path.
Yeah. Well, they say now that the average American changes jobs 5-6 times during their lifetime. And I think maybe my generation was just at the forefront of that, because I remember when I was going to school, you chose something you were going to do, mm-hmm. like, forever.
Yeah, I know at least a couple of friends. One friend who's switched her major like 3 or 4 times, and another who was majoring in computer science before she realized that actually she really doesn't like programming and is now thinking about switching to Japanese or English. And I mean, before I picked my major, I was thinking maybe history, maybe even art. I was also hoping to go into creative writing, although that's just a minor at UAA. Ended up realizing that English was going to be the best fit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they say everyone wants to see video now, but look at the bookstores. They're thriving. I mean, so I think there's always a place for those stories. How about you, Marcus? Any thoughts on how you came to consider your career direction, and would there be a possibility that you might deflect?
Well, when I was a little kid, I went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and kind of from that point on, I wanted to be a marine biologist. Hmm. And both my parents are scientists, and so I've kind of had that background, and so science kind of always fit really well, and because of my interest in marine biology, I decided to go to UAA for biology. Decided that med school or vet school wasn't for me, and so I changed my degree slightly to natural sciences, which is very similar to the biology program, so that I could pursue kind of a broader range of classes, you know, including things like environmental ethics and some other environmental classes that I wouldn't have gotten to take otherwise. Mm-hmm. And switched my major once and kept with it for the rest of the time.
So it's in your blood. You had that epiphany when you were a little kid. That's amazing.
I kind of had the epiphany when I was a little kid, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was in Whittier only yesterday, and there was an entire college class from the University of Portland, and they were chartering a boat. There was quite a few of them to take them out on Prince William Sound, and their class was studying the effects of the Exxon Valdez oil spill here 20 years later. It's become the fodder for a whole college mm-hmm. curriculum, which is pretty amazing. And, you know, marine biology, I think, is a field that, no pun intended, has unlimited depths, because they're finding out new things about our oceans all the time.
They're building a robot that's going to go to the very bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I just heard the other day on the radio, they found like energy sources at the bottom of the ocean that are like crystallized methane or something. They don't know how to get to them. They know it's there. This is the kind of stuff that fascinates me. Just amazing.
They're called methane clathrates.
Oh, tell us about it. You know this.
And it's methane that's locked in ice that's frozen at the bottom of the ocean because of the pressure and the temperature. And they're also found all over Alaska in permafrost. And so there has recently been a study by the USGS that is showing that there's like, you know, gigatons of this stuff. And they don't know how to mine it for energy, but there is big potential impacts for the climate if it were to be released into the atmosphere at one time.
Wow.
So I guess the concern is figuring out how to make use of it and somehow prevent it from melting and
screwing over our atmosphere even more than it already is.
So the very depths of the ocean is frozen.
Yes. In the ground, because of the chemistry of methane, you know, at certain temperatures and certain pressures, it, you know, becomes a solid state versus a liquid or a gas.
Wow.
And so all the way at the bottom of the ocean, on the continental shelves, it's methane frozen in the ground. And it's the same thing in permafrost.
See, I only heard about this a couple of days ago, and now here you're sitting here and you know all about it. Isn't that amazing how information flows around? Well, I'm going to remind our listeners again that we are talking to some recent UAA graduate students about their career paths and what they're looking at for the future, job security, or maybe not job security, but It looks like there's enough innovation out there that new kinds of jobs will be coming up, jobs that we never dreamed of. So if you have a comment or a question, please call 550-8433. 550-8433 or outside of Anchorage 1-888-353-5752 or send us an email at communityforum@kska.org. And always remember that any information you are seeking about our show can be found at kska.org. That's KSKA's website. So let's get back for a few minutes and talk a little bit more about what you're hearing from maybe college students in other areas about the job situation. Are you hearing dire reports that, oh, there's no jobs or what?
I think there's been a trend. At least I think it's not coincidental that all three of us are going into graduate programs or professional school. And I found that most of the people that I'm talking to aren't going straight into the job market after getting their bachelor's degrees. They are, in fact, going on for more schooling. And I think that's in part because there is more job security with more education, mm-hmm. I think. And I think it's also in part because a lot of people, at least some people, don't really know particularly what they're going to do with their bachelor's degree. And so it's easier to go back into school and not have to pay those student loans back right away than to go straight into the job market and have to start paying on your loans.
You touched on something there, Nancy, that is, I'm sure, on everybody's minds, those humongous student loans, which are start gathering interest from like the day you walk into the classroom. Does that scare you?
I never had any student loans, which was part of the reason I ended up going to UAA because it was so cheap. My parents paid for half of my books and tuition, which helped a lot too, but I wanted to stay out of debt as long as possible, which is another reason the whole teaching assistantship is going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of dealt with it, Kyra, there. You got
Hope
a job
so.
Down, you got a job right here, and you skipped the loans. How about you, Marcus? You worried about your...
I have a little debt, not insurmountable, much less than some people pay to go to expensive private schools, so I have much less than they do. I will have to take on a big chunk of debt, though, for graduate school, which does worry me. However, recently I saw this great study in my statistics class where this person was showing employment numbers and the amount of money you make, you know, with more education, and it just, you know, reinforced my decision to go to graduate school, because every time, you know, people with more education are earning more, are, you know, more job security.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We have some callers waiting there. Line 8.
Yes.
Hi, and this is Laureen?
Yes, hello.
Hi, you have a comment.
I do. I am going to graduate this spring from UAF with a master's degree in natural resource management. My specialty was soil science, looking at permafrost and the soils there on the coast. And I just want to let people know that I did my entire undergrad and graduate program through Palmer. The UAF Experiment Farm has an administrative office in Palmer that you can do an undergrad and a graduate program in natural resource management. Just wanted people to know that that is also an option.
Hey, that's good information. I've done a couple of stories on that experimental farm, and it's a wonderful place. Who's got a comment on that? Go ahead, Lauren.
I never had to go to Fairbanks, not once, for any of my classes, so it was a great option for people who live in the valley.
Yeah.
So did you take, internet courses or what?
They have a setup here in Palmer that has video teleconferencing. So there's a classroom in Fairbanks that has a camera and a television screen that shows what's going on in the Palmer classroom. And then in the Palmer classroom, we have two television screens, one that shows what's going on in the classroom in Fairbanks and the other one that shows, like, the PowerPoint or whatever tools the professor happens to be using to transmit the information. And we are in real time. We talk back and forth and can ask questions just as if we were in the classroom. And so almost all the classes are conducted that way.
Wow, that is, again, the times we live in are pretty good. Marcus is going.
Yeah, the internet right there. Perfect.
It is perfect. But, Laureen, you are in a sort of a specialized field, an agricultural field. And what are your prospects when you get out for a career in Alaska?
Well, I've already found a job as a professional soil scientist with a consulting firm that's based in... They have an office in Anchorage, and then they also have an office in Palmer. And so I was able to find a good job right from this career. And it's actually didn't have an agricultural base. I was looking at coastal erosion up on the Beaufort Sea. So mine is more environmentally based.
Okay. Again, the environmental consulting is very big in Alaska. Well, thank you for your call, Arena. I appreciate it. Anyone have a comment for her?
I was just going to say that I think the size of Alaska makes the University of Alaska very good at making these programs available to people. I know I was looking at the Masters of Public Health program here at UAA if I didn't get into med school the first year. And it's also a distance program that people can do from any part of the state and can do while holding a full-time job. So I think that University of Alaska is very... is very amenable to people who may be in, you know, working or may not be in one of the major cities.
Right. And again, the internet has made so much possible that was impossible even 10 years ago. And it looks like we have another caller on line one. Hi, it's Amadou.
Yes.
Hi. What's your comment there?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fine.
Okay.
I have a question on a graduate student loan.
Okay.
And also for minority students who graduated with a pile of student loan. What can one do when you have a master's degree and you have student loans over $20,000, $30,000, and you don't have a job? He defaulted the student loan. What can we do?
That is a question, I believe, for the... Is it the... I can't remember the name. Alaska...
The Post-Secondary Education Commission, is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
I know somebody who recently has had to work with his loan provider. He got done with graduate school, you know, a lot of debt, and... One of the things that he's done is, you know, been very vocal with his loan provider and the banks and things like that to try to make sure that they understand his situation. And they've been pretty amenable, and they've been, you know, reducing his monthly payments to a much more realistic amount and have been very helpful.
Right. I know that if you contact your loan provider, there's several of them, actually, and I wouldn't know whose yours was, but they will defer payments in the case of unemployment, or you can work with them to reduce your payments. Have you tried that?
I have tried that. I paid a few times. I was out of fault, but I lost a job again, and now you said it defaulted again, and I think I have to go through the same thing. The other thing also for... People of color, sometimes you have the qualification, but if you don't have the links to get a job, it's very hard for us to get a job. What can we do?
That is a question a lot of people are facing in this economy. And how long have you been out of work?
Over a year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a lot. So I don't know what you're...
The other thing also... Since some of us lost our jobs, now what I'm doing temporarily with a master's degree, I have to drive a cab in order to sustain myself. But the lender is not, it doesn't care whether you're driving a cab or any kind of job that you do. It required you to pay your graduate student loan.
Right.
And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. I know other people who are in your exact same situation. But I really cannot answer your questions on what to do about your student loans. I think this is a matter for between you and the people that gave you the loan. And I know that there are going to be some new innovations regarding student loans under the Obama administration. But I don't believe those have been finalized.
Under the Obama administration, I think new student people with a bachelor's degree, they can do community service. But I don't know if there is anything for adults who have defaulted their student loan for maybe a few years. What type of job can they offer them if one is qualified?
Right. Okay, well, I cannot help you here. Thank you, Amadou. So that's the downside of student loans right there, driving a cab. But then I did talk to a guy who told me not too long ago that when he was out of work, he ended up driving a cab and now owns his own company. So
Wow. Things
change rather rapidly, and I think that we've all been up and we've all been down. Are you prepared, any of you, for maybe the downside? The financial downside.
Well, even before the economy took a nosedive, I always had the sort of vague concern about now the fact that what I actually want to do is write novels, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do for a day job. I mean, I've been for probably more than a year, I've been a member of the Facebook group. I picked a major I like, and someday I'll be living in a box. So it's been a concern for me before the economy went sour, and that hasn't really changed. But I know there'll be jobs out there. I don't know that I'll be able to get what I really want, but no, people always need people who actually have some idea how to write. So.
Well, yeah, we live in language in print is not going to go away. It's taking another form. And but you still have to be able to read something when you click that internet on.
The whole world needs a copy editor. That's my belief.
Well, that is something that's topic for another show. What Twitter and the internet is doing to texting is doing to the language that rap hasn't already done to the to the language. We'll save that for another community forum. How about you, Marcus? You mentioned that you were going to take on a big chunk of debt to go to that in college in England.
It's definitely a concern of mine. Do I have, am I prepared for the other side of it? Honestly, no, not really. But I think I have the motivation and the skills and the knowledge to deal with something like that. I think that's part of a bachelor's degree is dealing with difficulties, and I think that will help me get through something like that.
Also, you'll have professional salaries when you do join the workforce, although what those professional salaries are going to be, who knows? And it seems that is another thing that our new economy is going to have to address, because let's face it, our old economy has tanked, and maybe there'll be a leveling, a leveling of those salaries where, you know, one person isn't going to be making $500,000 a year while everybody else makes, you know, $10 an hour. So is that a concern of yours, Nancy?
It's a concern. I feel fairly secure that I will be able to find work. But, I think healthcare is definitely changing in America, and so I'm interested to see what my experience is going to be. I think that my experience as a medical professional is going to be very different than someone's experience, you know, even 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, you won't be the doctor with a satchel with a little office. You'll be in a clinic and a practice with very smooth and slick and your own laboratory next down the hall. We'll see. Well, let's go to break, please, for just about a minute here so we can regroup our thoughts. And welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer, and today we're talking about what's next for college graduates, and I've got three guests today, all recent UAA grads. They have their sheepskins in hand and their mortarboards on their head right here and their black robes. I'm only kidding. And they are Marcus Welkin, Nancy Bishop, and Kyra Sedgwick. So we are, once again, going to ask our callers if they have questions about what's next for college grads. Our listeners can call 550-8433, 550-8433, or outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or shoot us an email at communityforum@kska.org. And, Kyra, you were going to say something there.
Oh.
Well, we have talked a little bit about the mood on campus, preparation for the workforce. What about a possibility that you may have to work in a field you haven't been trained for? Kyra, that's one of the things that's been in your brain.
Yeah.
Just how resourceful are you? I mean, you know what they say about novelists. You got to live it.
Right. I mean, as I mentioned, I never had any intentions of becoming a teacher. I have no idea if it's something that I would want to continue to do after the teaching assistantship, but the fact that I'm doing that at all when it's not something that I ever planned to do is, well, probably somewhat thanks to the economic times and realized that this was a smart financial choice. But, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I've thought about, that I might end up in, I don't know, doing tech writing for who knows, anything, really. I mean, there's not a lot of perfect jobs for somebody who just wants to sit at home and write novels.
Well, I think the internet has empowered people who would prefer to work from home, and that's another thing that's changing rapidly. I know that when I got out of college, I was approached by IBM, opened a facility in Vermont where I was living, and they were looking for tech writers. And at the time, I thought, oh, I can't do that. So I didn't. And I didn't get hired either. Attitude is everything. But the world is changing rapidly. And I think that for all of there's an emphasis put on what we're losing, but we're also gaining, as Nancy and Marcus have been saying. There are certain areas of endeavor that are growing rapidly and are not going to go away. People will always need medical care. People will always need to eat. Energy is an ongoing question in our becoming more and more, compelling in our day because of the new inroads made in discovering and developing alternative energy sources. And this is something that Marcus here would be in on from the ground floor. How do you feel about that?
I feel like there is lots of job opportunities. One of the things that makes me feel like that is that I've lived here the last couple of years. While going to school, I've worked for many different companies, nonprofits, and so I feel like I have connections in the community that would help me deal with that. And so I've totally forgot what I was talking about.
I was talking about the future of alternative energy exploration and development.
Oh, lots of it. And for example, Fire Island. There's all kinds of things going on in the state to deal with these new renewable energies. We have new legislation. We have a new federal government that's going to help us with those things. People in the bush are dealing with major energy issues. And so there will be, I would guess, thousands of new jobs in this state. I would guess that there will be a boom in Alaska similar to the pipeline boom that happened developing renewable energies in Alaska. There's many people that are on the ground floor fighting right now to create jobs all over the state. In renewable energy.
There's a clean boom coming, a clean, green boom coming. You know, I talked to a fellow not too long ago. I'm a reporter in my other life who went to the Palmer City Schools. He grew up in Palmer on a farm, excelled in math. It was just in his blood. And he now works for NASA.
Oh, wow.
And he told me during an interview that he felt he got a better education in Palmer than he could have gotten anywhere else that put him on that road as a child. And do any of you feel a little bit, oh, I went to Alaska schools? Do you feel a little bit abashed, or do you feel like maybe Alaska is just as good as any other place in colleges? Or
I think that I do feel like I need to defend University of Alaska a lot, which is unfortunate. I think not as many people realize that it has become a really great university. I have a younger sister who's actually graduating this spring as well with her degree in microbiology from University of Hawaii. Mm. And it's been interesting having the two of us at different schools over the past 4 years because we've just had really different experiences. I've been so lucky to be involved with lots of undergraduate research opportunities, so many opportunities at UAA, whereas I don't think that she's had the same level of involvement in Hawaii. And so I think that sometimes UAA gets put on the back burner by some Alaskan students.
I know, especially at my high school, and I suspect this tends to happen with a lot of state schools. People think that it's somehow copping out to go to a local college once you get out of high school. But I knew one student who called it University of Average Achievers and University of Accepting Anyone and things like that, which is really unfair because UAA's got a lot of great professors, a lot of really great programs, but it's just like any other school. It's what you put into it. You know, if you look into things like honors, undergraduate research, and some of the other opportunities available, you probably get a lot more out of it than somebody who's just coasting through their classes.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I have to say, from my own experience, I'm amazed at how UAA has grown in the past 10, 15 years. It's astonishing. I took classes there myself part-time back in 94 and 5. And it's a whole different school today. So you're all proud of UAA, and you feel you have the best background education that you could have for your future endeavors.
Well, I think there's something in common that we all have. We're all hard workers, and I think that we probably would have achieved success at many other places. However, we chose to go here, and I think we were all very fortunate to participate in a lot of the great things that UAA does have to offer. And so I think that it's a lot about, as Kyra said, what you put into it. You get if you put a lot in, you get a lot out.
And that's the truth, because, you know, we do not have a medical school here. And we do have that wonderful program, WAMU.
WAMI.
The WAMI program. And, some other states, you might be standing in line to get into med school.
I feel very fortunate coming from Alaska because I'm not sure that I would have had you know, gotten into school my first year had I been from another state, or had we not had this program.
Right.
So
I know someone who went through that program and is now working with Doctors Without Borders and really contributing. And I think that's what encourages me as a older person. Mm-hmm. I don't like to say that, but the energy and vitality that you're looking forward to contributing to the world. Contributing in your various areas, contributing stories, contributing to health, contributing to energy, and in short, contributing to a cleaner, better, healthier world. And I think that's really what I wanted to get at this program. That spark of youth is still there. It's glowing, and it's not dying. And you hear so much just nasty stories about, you know, people doing this and that, but I think we don't focus as much as we need to in the media on the fact that there's really healthy, bright, smart, good-hearted, hardworking, and all those good things people out there who are really carrying forward. And how do you feel about that? Do you get a lot of naysayers in your generation? You know, there's Generation X. For me, it was the hippies. I mean, there was always a counterculture kind of underground kind of thing going, but
I think there's always going to be naysayers, but mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of people in this community who, both young and old, who realize that there's a lot of potential in the young mm-hmm. people of Anchorage at UAA, and you know, I think there is a lot of encouragement you know, for students to become involved in their community, and I think that it's only going to help Anchorage and Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, you got anything to say about that?
Nah.
How about you, Kyra?
Yeah, and I think Nancy's right. There's always going to be people who have given up for one reason or another, and I mean, you know, it's easier for anyone to just say, oh, you know, everybody's doing things wrong and nothing's ever going to get fixed, than it is to actually attempt to fix it and start doing things right. But, you know, it's something that my generation has to deal with, and all generations after us are probably going to have to deal with, on each individually on their own terms. So, I mean, all we can really do is work hard, do our best, which is really cliched, but well, I mean, that's what we need to do.
I think yeah, there's really. Going to be a scaling back of the definition of what is, quote, necessary. I think what people felt they needed got really bloated during the mm-hmm. 90s, and it just popped, you know, in the early part of this century. People are really taking a look at, you know, what is essential, what they can do without, and mm-hmm. people are, like, wanting to grow their own gardens. Now there's a big interest in that. Of course, some of us have been trying to grow our own gardens for years.
A little harder here, too.
Well, after a few, you know, you get it down, you can get those cabbages in the ground, they will grow mm-hmm. if the moose doesn't get them first. I think that in, you know, there's, when one thing collapses, something else grows, and that, I think we're seeing that already. Mm-hmm. I think that the internet, for all its ills, is a wonderful tool. We're now seeing colleges where you don't even have to leave home. You have internet colleges. How do you feel about that? Would you consider?
I think it's difficult to have the same level of experience yeah. that you have, you know, doing internet classes versus actually being in a classroom. And that's why during my entire years at UAA, I never did any online classes. I know myself. I know I'm a person that needs to be in the environment in order to learn. But I think that it has its pros and cons, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that it makes schooling a lot more available for some people who might not otherwise be able to take yeah. advantage of it. So.
Right, right.
You know, I had a couple web classes, and I found it harder to keep on top of the reading and class assignments on the online discussion boards, just because I wasn't, you know, I didn't have that physical going to class to remind me of what I needed to do. But it could be really useful, especially for people who are already working and want to get a degree or finish a degree to improve their job prospects, the kind of thing they could do part-time. But it, you know, it depends on the situation, really.
I think community is also helpful in learning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the classroom's all about. You have a community group and helping each other. You know, I remember when I was in college, and this is, I'll tell you, this is how much the world has changed, because as a medical student there, Nancy, you're going to gasp. We used to, you know, stay up all night and cram, you know, for exams. I'm sure that's nothing new, but we had, mm-hmm. I left home and I traveled. I went to a college far from home, and we actually had a room called the smoker, because it was assumed everyone smoked. Isn't that awful? And we did smoke. I mean, the air would be blue, and everyone would be staying up all night smoking away and helping each other learn. And I don't know that my lungs have ever... I quit smoking after that. I wasn't very good at that. But now that would be unheard of. But the students, I'm assuming, still gather and help each other. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Now we just OD on energy drinks, I'm sure aren't that much better for you.
Now it's all Red Bull and that Monster or whatever it is, that gruesome yellow stuff. I don't know how anyone can drink it. Well, we've only got about a minute and a half here, so I'd like to go around the circle and have any last thoughts on college or the future or how well prepared you are?
Well, personally, I feel like I have gained many skills and abilities while going to school that are very particular to UAA and my experience at UAA. I'm very thankful for them, and I think that they will hopefully those skills that I've learned lead to much success. And I think that no matter, even in these tough economic times, we still have to remember that we're probably the wealthiest culture society to ever inhabit the planet, and so a little downturn is still a long ways above the background levels.
Mm. How about you, Nancy?
I agree with Marcus. I'm actually a little relieved that the culture has become less about the things that you have, and more about the roof over your head and how you can take care of your family and take care of your community. And I think those are important values that we kind of mm-hmm. lost sight of and are getting back because of this economic downturn. So I think there is a silver lining, and I hope that remains with us once we do make our way out of this.
Yeah. Kyra?
I guess for me, especially having spent a semester in England, I really want to travel a lot, which is maybe not the most responsible thing to do for the environment with planes and everything. But there's all kinds of places I want to see. I think Alaska is always going to be my home base. And I really hope that a lot of what we're seeing now with people being more conscious of saving money, being smart economically, and trying to take care of the environment just a little bit more than usual, I hope that lasts, especially here in Alaska when our boom and bust economy based on the oil is not going to last. I hope we can take advantage of that and start investing in renewable resources before it's too late.
Okay, thank you, Kyra Sherwood, Marcus Welkin, and Nancy Bishop. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Thanks for listening to Community Forum.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Community Forum on our website at kska.org, where you can also find links to additional information on today's topic, including all the websites mentioned on today's show. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508, or email communityforum@kska.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.